ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो ऑन द ऑस्पिशियस डे ऑफ जन्माष्टमी वी हैव कम टू द प्लेस कॉल्ड मदन टेर एट 6:40 इन द इवनिंग। It's getting twilight now, and this is where you can appreciate the beauty of Vrindavan, feel what Vrindavan is. Vrindavan is not in the concrete structures and many buildings and many ashrams and guest houses. That is not Vrindavan. Vrindavan, when there are trees, there are cows, there are birds, there is Krishna, there is Balaram, the peacocks nicely making sound. That is Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is a place where there is loving service to the Lord, without any opulence, without any aura, the simple loving service of the heart to Krishna, that place is Vrindavan. So wherever there is loving service performed to Krishna, that place Vrindavan manifests. Wherever loving devotees surround you, that place is Vrindavan. And Vrindavan also is a place where you have to come to Mathura and travel, and also there is a place like that. But the true Vrindavan is in the heart. Wherever there is sentiment of love for Krishna and service to Him, that place is Vrindavan revealed to all of us. So this place is also called as Madan Ter. We went to lunch for the first play, Radha Vallabhji Temple. This place belonged to them. Because there is a historic significance why this place is belonging to them, I will try to tell you in short. First of all, this place, Lord Krishna was playing with his cowherd friends, girls, gopis. And the god, demigod of lust, one who comes with flower arrows and flower bow, his name is Kamadev, Cupid. His wife is called as Rati. And their job is that wherever there is lusty attachments, they go and shoot their arrows and inflict that personality with lusty desires and entangle them further and further down in the material world. So the Cupid, he has done this for Menaka. When Menaka came to Vishwamitra Muni, he has done this there also. Wherever there is fall down, he has come and shot his arrow. So he did this with Lord Shiva also. Lord Shiva was performing tapasya. He thought he is sitting with Parvati, so I'll shoot the arrow and entangle them in lusty desires. But Shiva opened his third eye and burned him to ashes. It was proved that Lord Shiva is not in the bondage of Cupid. Similarly, with the bow and arrow of flowers, Kamadev came here with his wife Rati. And he thought, one man and so many beautiful women, that means lusty desires. So he raised his bow, pulled his arrow, and was about to shoot to Krishna. So he had to aim the tip of his arrow to Krishna. So he had to see Krishna and the tip of the arrow, Krishna and the tip of the arrow. And when he did that, looking at Krishna's beauty, he melted himself. First of all, his bow, which he was pulled, had to be released. The bow came down, the flower arrow and flower bow, both slipped from his hand. And then looking at the beauty of Krishna, he melted over there, along with his wife. Which means, he thought Krishna's personality was material, and he can entangle him in the flower arrow. But by this pastime, Krishna proved that he is not under the bondage of Cupid. His love between him and gopis is transcendental. It is not material the way we think. So Cupid, Krishna actually is described as Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. His beauty, when millions of Cupids come together, they cannot match with his beauty. So that is Krishna's beauty. So this is one pastime took place here. Second pastime took place here was, I told you the story of Atmadev Brahmin, and I reserved the part of the story for you, for this place. The Atmadev Brahmin, when he gave his daughter in marriage and the deity of Radha Vallabhji to him, to Hitharivansha Goswami, he came in this forest. And there's a banyan tree which I first looked at on right side. Now this, the tree has gone, the other tree has grown up there. But in that banyan tree there were three holes. In one hole he was worshipping Radha Vallabhji, one hole he would stay, and one hole he would keep the paraphernalia of the worship. So he was worshipping over here, and as I, you must have heard the story of Jajali Muni sometimes, one who actually cursed the demon Utkala to become Bakasur. So like that Jajali Muni, he had so much power that wherever, whoever was living with him, all the wild animals were enemies to one another. They would live very peacefully when he was there. So this Hita Harivansha Goswami also was similar kind of sadhu. By his influence and power of devotion, all the wild animals who are inimical to one another started staying here very peacefully. And his fame and glory or the power of his devotion spread all over Vrindavan Dham. And that time Vrindavan was actually controlled by dacoits. And the king of dacoits were called as, his name was Naravahan. Naravahan was so crooked and was so cruel and so horrible that he had a typical style of looting people. He was himself so powerful physically that he would go to looting alone. He will not come 10 people together and loot one man. He would go and go loot 10 men together at one time. He was so powerful. And he would hang all of them, after robbing them, hang all of them upside down on a tree and he would go away. That kind of a dacoit he was. So he heard the fame and the glory of this sadhu, Hita Harivansha Goswami. And he thought that more than my terror, my fame of being terror, his fame as sadhu is spreading more than my name. So I must go and destroy this sadhu. So he took up his weapons and he wore his opulent clothes and took his sword and sat on a white horse and started marching towards Vrindavan from his place of wherever he was living. On the way he was coming for some distance, he thought that, "Are, why should I carry weapons and everything for killing a sadhu? My hands are enough." So he left the horse, he dropped his weapons and started walking barefoot at the banks of Jamuna. After some time the sand of Jamuna started entering in his shoe. So he removed his shoe and started walking barefoot. After he went further, it was very hot like this, you know. And he had worn many, many clothes. Because he was a king of dacoits, so he had kingly dresses. He was feeling too hot, so he removed one, removed second, he dropped on the road. And walking, you know. But his envy and anger and isha is like so powerful, he's not even realizing what he's doing. He's dropping all his opulences one by one. And by the time he comes close to this forest where Swamiji was doing, performing his bhajan, he's only on kopin. Everything he has given up, except his anger and irsha. But juta has gone, ornaments have gone, because all were falling burdensome for him, he removed them also. Everything he just dropped on the road, horse, his vehicle, everything he dropped. And he came with no clothes on the body, with no weapons, only with angry eyes and kopin on the body, and he entered this forest. He started looking angrily, searching for that sadhu. Where is he? So Sadhuji Maharaji was there. So as soon as he saw Maharaji, he started really looking at angrily with him, as if he's going to go and pounce on him and kill him very soon. Swamiji very peacefully told him, "Why looking at me? Please look at the Lord. Naravahan Prabhu Nihar. Please look at the Lord. Why are you looking at me and wasting your time?" So angrily turned and looked at the Lord. And as soon as he saw the Lord, his anger just melted away, his envy just disappeared, and he fell at the feet of this sadhu. Why this was happening to him? Because the area of this place, which was surrounded by this particular place, the influence of Swamiji's vibrations were there. So he became renounced for all the opulence that he had carried with him. Everything he had to drop, including his shoes and including his clothes. And he came at least externally renounced. And by looking at the sadhu, even internally he became renounced. He gave up his envy, gave up all his pride, and fell at the feet of the sadhu. Instead of thinking of killing him, he surrendered to him. "So please forgive me, I had come to kill you, being envious of your fame that you had." And he became his disciple. He said, "I'll stay with you only, I'll not go back." So he stayed here only. And in the course of time, the leader, the king, never came back to the kingdom. So the people thought, his dacoit friends, that our leader is being killed by some wild animal. Because no man can kill him, so anyway, some lion or tiger must have killed him. So they find a suitable other person and make him king, and the whole business continues. And this person, wearing the kopin from there onwards, is going all over Vrindavan chanting the name of the Lord. because Hitharvansh Goswami initiates him. And he's going all around to see anybody in difficulty. The person who would kill people ruthlessly would go around seeing who is in difficulty, who is in pain, who is in difficulty, can I help him out? So one day, the new king's people came in Vrindavan, looted some rich man, hung him upside down on the tree and went away. And that king, that person who was looted, he was like crying, "Help me, help me, help me." And one old lady came across him and told him, "Don't call help me, call Narvahan, Narvahan, Narvahan. And Narvahan will come and rescue you. He always is taking round in the evening and all those in difficulty he saves them." Started calling Narvahan, 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 and Narvahan reached there because he heard somebody calling. And as soon as he saw that person, he realized they are my people only who has done that. So he releases him and he takes him all the way back to his kingdom where he was. Now he is only in Kopin, but his power is still there. He's not become a weak man. So he goes and orders the king, "All that you have taken away from him, give him and put him on a palanquin with four people and send him back to his home." So they give him all the money that they looted from him. They give him dakshina further, they put him in palanquin and drop him at home. After that, this Narvahan tells his Guru Maharaj that, "I owe all Vrindavan, I own it, and I want to donate it to you as dakshina. So I will shoot an arrow, and to the distance the arrow will reach, all the circle of the land will be yours." So from here, Narvahan shoots an arrow, and that arrow goes beyond Jamuna, where the Mansarovar is, and falls down there. So all that area, Mansarovar, like pura Vrindavan, was donated by Narvahan to Hita Harivansha Goswami. And that is why the Radharani, that place called Mansarovar, is under the rule of Radha Vallabh temple, even this place also. And then two more people came. One was, what was his name? Who was the Goswami of that temple? Jugal Kishore temple. Hari Ram Vyas. Hari Ram Vyas, she also became disciple of Hita Harivansha Goswami. And then with the wealth and the money, the new temple was constructed, where it is today. And that's the story of this place, Narvahan. So you can see that by the power of a sadhu, what can happen, you know. I heard that Dr. Cornel West's lecture. In that he said that rather than giving a sermon, be a sermon. Which is more important than giving a lecture also. What is the meaning of being a sermon? That means be an example of the sermon that you are going to give or you give. So when somebody is example, then by the power of the example, the hearts change. The transformation of heart takes place. So just by Hita Harivansha Goswami being here, the heart of a dacoit changed. He became a sadhu. And long stories there of his life and how he saved people and preached and all. And that's how Radha Vallabhji stayed here and then went to temple. So Madante Dham Ki Jai. So what we learn from this place? One, from that pastime of Cupid, that all of us are attracted by the opposite sex and the wealth of this world. But if you take shelter of Krishna, then you can automatically get freed from this contamination. If we don't take shelter of Krishna, we are by default under the attack of Cupid. All of us are by default under the attack of Cupid. But we take shelter of Krishna, then we are released from the attack and the entanglement of Cupid. When we take shelter of Krishna, we get freed from lusty desires and we become completely pure hearted. And that's how Krishna will accept us in his kingdom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should pray here to Krishna, one who is conqueror of Cupid, one who has defeated Kamadev here, that please free us from the entanglement and attractions of the Cupid, which is entangling us in the cycles of birth and death, and give us his shelter and lotus feet, and give us a taste of the holy name and service to him, so that once and for all we'll be freed from these attachments and get shelter of Krishna eternally. Hare Krishna.